It's time now for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the games we all love. Now, here's Will Hampton.
Hello and welcome. And, you know, there's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and lots to talk about when it comes to the world of sports. Welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly, underwritten in part by the Catholic Athletes for Christ. Well, the Colts got a win. How about that? Beating the Texans. And you know, I know if you're thinking like I think sometimes in a positive way, they could still win their division. People are saying, wait a minute, Will, since our last show last week, Andrew Luck went on IR. He's done for the year. How could that possibly happen? Well, I'm just saying mathematically they could still make this thing happen because the AFC South is just simply not a very good division this year. Jacksonville Jaguars look pretty good. The Titans look pretty good. The Texans, had their quarterback not gotten hurt, I think they would have won the division. But we'll see. But what I loved most about that win for the Colts this past week was Chuck Pagano. Love to see Chuck get a win. Just such a nice man, and kind of maybe cools the heat a little bit on his seat, so to speak, right now, because a lot of people are on him. So that was good to see Chuck get a win and see the Colts get a win. I know a lot of the guys in that building over there, and I know not just the football players, but the entire building, the entire staff, from Jim Irsay on down, when the building's not winning, the building's not winning. It can be a tough place to go in each and every day. So congratulations to the Colts. How about Notre Dame? They keep rolling along. They get another big win. And if you look at the national championship picture right now, it's Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson that would be in the Final Four, the championship picture. So if they keep winning, keep doing what they're doing, it could be an interesting time for the Irish. Coming up later in this show today, we're going to talk to a guy who covered the Irish. He was a media member who was with the Irish. I believe he covered them when they won their last national title. We'll talk to Charlie Adams coming a little bit later, and he'll give us some stories about the Irish, among other things. A salute to the Brebeuf volleyball team. They made it all the way to the championship game in 3A. They lost to Newcastle, and Newcastle is one of those teams up in that region that just seems to dominate high school girls volleyball. But what a great season for Brebeuf, so congratulations to them for the great season. High school football, we have some sectional champions. The Catholic schools just have a tendency to do that, don't they? They just keep winning in tournament time. How about Cathedral? Just all year long, we worried about who they were playing and where they were playing and whether or not they were going to be a very good football team. Well, they're still alive. They've won another sectional championship. They beat Decatur Central 42-21 last week, and they meet Bloomington South this week. Brebeuf, speaking of Brebeuf, they're a sectional champion. Congrats to them. They beat Southmont 48-14 last week. Their next opponent is West Lafayette in the regional. And Chittard eliminated Ritter. Two great football teams, Chittard beating Ritter 56-27. Next up for Chittard, they take on 12-0 Danville. And Cecina, Ott Hurley's bunch, they're sectional 37 champions. They're now 11-1, and they take on 9-3 Western Boone in the next round. So a lot of good teams, Cathedral, Brebeuf, Chittard, Cecina, still kicking in high school football. You know, recently I attended the Indianapolis Prayer Breakfast. It was a great morning last month, and to Tamika Catchings, who we've had on this show, was the featured speaker. Great job by Tamika. She really nailed the morning and really had us all kind of thinking and wanting to do more in our faith when we left the building. But Tamika, so congratulations on a great, great message that day. But while I was there, as I tend to do sometimes, I find other things going on. And there was this traveling prayer garden that was really unique, a very nice area. And I got a chance to catch up with its founder. John Pessio, Executive Director of Tidewind Ministries, and you have a prayer garden that is mobile.
Yes.
What is this all about?
Well, we currently don't have a permanent location, but when we've had that in the past, we've been able to set up stations and areas where people could stop and reflect, read a devotional, think about different aspects of their faith. And so we wanted to create something that was movable, that we could take from place to place. I guess a little tabernacle-like, you know?
Yeah.
So that we would have the ability to set up our own environment if we lead a night of worship or have a special event.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we do sports here on Catholic Sports Weekly. I would imagine, what a great thing to have at a sporting event, maybe a high school basketball game or something like that. Do you think that could be an avenue perhaps down the road?
Oh, absolutely.
How would it work?
Well, it would be a matter of finding out what the event is, what the needs are, and what kind of environment you really want to create. And then we've got the supplies that are mobile enough, you know, easy enough to move, so that we'd be able to just set up in a small or large space, again, depending on what your needs are, and have a place that people can walk through that will help them have some instruction on guiding them in an encounter with the Lord. And additionally, maybe a couple of people that would be available to pray for people that have prayer requests.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity just to reflect and pray. And don't we need more of those kind of places, huh?
Well, that's exactly why we're doing this. And one of the things that I think is nice about having a prayer area, we can pray anywhere. You don't need a prayer area for that. But having something like that sets up gives us permission, in a sense, to pray in a public space where I guess we feel a little more comfortable being able to do that because it's... We've been instructed that it's okay, you know what I mean? And it kind of opens the door for us to be able to do that.
You're here today at the Indianapolis Prayer Breakfast where Tamika Catchings spoke. Did you get a chance to hear her, or were you so busy, or did you get a chance to hear her message?
Oh, yeah, I was in the back of the room, so I was near the prayer garden, but I got to hear everything.
Yeah, what do you think of her, and what a great testimony.
Oh, she was great. She was great. She's very articulate and warm and has had a beautiful testimony.
Mm-hmm. Now, your group is called Tidewind Ministries.
Yes.
What is a website or a way people can find out more information?
We're at tidewind.org.
Simple as that.
Simple as that, yeah.
Thank you, John, and thank you for what you do. And you know us Catholics, we don't really need a prayer garden to pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. There's a prayer for you right there. But this was a unique way to kind of engage people. And I, like we mentioned in the interview, I thought it'd be really kind of neat to perhaps take that little garden to high school sporting events or maybe to a college event. Have a room where people can say a prayer and think about things other than maybe that specific moment in their life. Think about something down the road. I know this past week, a lot of people concerned about what's going on in San Antonio, a terrible tragedy, and our thoughts and prayers are with the families in that Baptist church out near San Antonio where the shooter came into the congregation. And it brings up, it makes us all think a little bit about our neighbor and who's there. And I thought Greg Popovich, the San Antonio Spurs coach, I don't know if you heard or saw what he said, but somebody asked him after the game about the game, and he said, you know what, I don't think we should talk about basketball right now. He said, my thoughts and prayers are with the people in that church and in that community, and he just didn't want to talk about basketball, didn't feel like it. He wanted to talk about those people, and again, another great sign of a great person. Greg Popovich, the coach of the San Antonio Spurs. Well, we're really just getting started here on Catholic Sports Weekly this week. When we come back, some people call this, actually Sports Illustrated said it was the greatest sports moment in United States history. What do you think I'm talking about? What will one of our subjects be with our next guest? Well, we'll find out right after this when Catholic Sports Weekly continues.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ, serving Catholic athletes and sharing the gospel through athletics. With an integrated network of sports-oriented clergy and laypeople, they help athletes, coaches, and staff members in the practice of their faith. Information about Catholic Athletes for Christ and their new recording of the Holy Rosary featuring Hall of Fame sportscaster Vince Scully are available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton. This show, underwritten by Catholic Athletes for Christ, CatholicAthletesForChrist.org, is a great place to get some more information on that. Let's say hi to Charlie Adams. He's a longtime sportscaster in the South Bend area. As I mentioned earlier in the show, he covered the Irish when they won their last national title back in 1988. And now you do all kinds of speaking, a motivational speaker, and one of your targets is the Miracle on Ice, the greatest sports moment in United States history. That's what they call it, right, Charlie?
Yes, last year, hi, Will, in 2016, Sports Illustrated came out with a thorough ranking of the top 100 sports moments, and you get up to the top three, and you have Jesse Owens winning those gold medals in front of Hitler at the 36 games, and then number one, would be the Miracle on Ice of the 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid. And that's a powerful thing when you think about it, all the great sports in our nation. So my passion in recent years has been to study it and share insights from it.
Yeah, now I know you and I go way back. We actually both went to school at Ole Miss, hotty totty, and but through the years we've both kind of stayed connected, and a lot of it's because of our mutual just love affair with the world of sports, and you're also a faith-filled guy that you intertwine faith into your public speaking. But before we get into that, help me kind of get a vibe. You're up in that area just south of Notre Dame, up there in the Mishawaka and South Bend area. How is that whole community reacting right now with the Irish perhaps on the doorstep of getting a chance anyway for another national title in football?
Oh, Will, it's a big story. When you think there were 4-8 last year, and there's several things that have happened in it. Brian Kelly took the team to North Central Indiana to Culver Academy, known by many as Culver Military Academy, for several days before the season. I think they really bonded there and got focused in. That's a prestigious place, you know, where George Steinbrenner went and Gene Siskel, Hal Holbrook, and others. And then coming out of that, another thing going back to this past year, Brian Kelly made some changes. You know, he got up early last spring. He was in with the athletes lifting weights, just getting to connect more with them. So he made changes in his staff to a degree, and boy, they have come out on fire. And wow, people are excited about it. The way they play with such passion and determination. So they're in the mix for the national championship. So it's been since the 93 season, really, when Notre Dame has been in the mix. So the 2012 team played Alabama but got blown out. They really weren't there then.
Probably didn't really deserve that opportunity. They got it, but they were a long way from being able to beat Alabama. Now, this year's team, I remember when they lost to Georgia, there was a moment, there was a media moment where somebody asked Kelly, kind of insinuating that he had there was a hot seat that he was sitting on. And how rewarding do you think that is for him and for his staff and for the community of Notre Dame that they've kind of been able to dispel all that talk?
Absolutely. So he'll be here for a number of years to come after the way they've done this year. I can see why they perceived him to be on the hot seat. You know, they've made some massive changes to the stadium and all those kind of things, and coming off that losing record in his eighth year, I think sometimes you're worried that a fan base might get a little So they have answered in a powerful way, and it's inspiring to all of us about what can happen when you make positive changes.
Yeah, and we're speaking with Charlie Adams. He's, of course, was a member of the media, sportscaster in the South Bend area for a long time, 20 years, actually. But now, tell me what you're up to now and this story of February 24th, 1980, USA beat Russia 4-3 on the ice. It was in the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, of course, like as we talked about, the greatest sports moment in U.S. history. And as two sportscasters sitting here talking, the greatest call in sportscasting history with, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes! with Al Michaels. I mean, that's quite a story that you can tell. I get a chance to watch you give this presentation that you do. You really travel around the country talking about this and connecting it to, like you said, passion, connecting it to leadership, connecting it to how a business can take their business from one plateau to another, right?
Right, yes. You saw me in Indianapolis. It was at the Concrete Annual Association event. And so the people in the room were people in the concrete industry, leaders and what have you. And that happened to be a 60-minute program on the story. And with the Winter Olympics coming up in about 90 days, you know, people get fired up. And we're coming up on the 38th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. And you're right, Al Michaels, us having our sportscasting background, anytime they do any kind of poll, it blows away everything, getting over 90% of the vote in the final seconds of the 4-3 win. He said, "Do you believe," or asked, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. And it was just an amazing story, a journey. Soviet hockey, invincible. They had won the Winter Olympics in 64, 68, 72. 76, obliterating teams. They were professionals. This was back when the Olympics were all amateurs, and they got around that, listing them as amateurs. But you know, Soviet hockey players trained up to three times a day and pulverized teams. And our boys were true amateurs, average age 20, college students, come together by a man that I think was a genius with his coaching, Herb Brooks, a Midwesterner. And for them to beat them was staggering, incomprehensible. And it's considered by many, and this is arguable, the greatest upset of all time.
Yeah.
And all these things will just make it up. But the thing is, since it has been since 1980, many people don't know the story. And even older people that were, you know, over 20 when it happened, when they think back, they go, yeah, I remember it. I remember watching. But they don't know the story, the journey. And that's what life is about, the journey. And I believe it was the greatest example of teamwork in American sports, how they came together. And the coach, Herb Brooks, some have said he did not make a mistake in their 7 months together, which
wow.
is staggering.
Yeah.
Right. So there's all these things to where I just felt that it deserves research and telling. And, of course, the players are average age 60 now, and they get out and speak, too. And I encourage, you know, people to bring them in because they primarily live in the Midwest. So it's great to hear the story.
Yeah, it's a big Midwestern story. And also here on Catholic Sports Weekly, there is a Catholic element and a faith element to this story as well. And you were telling me, of course, Mike Ruzioni, who scored the big goal that put Team USA ahead in the game against Russia. And his family, his mom, strong Catholic family. And that was intertwined in that team, and especially in that the guys from Boston area. A lot of that, yeah.
Well, the neat thing is, like you said, 16 of the 20 players from the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team were from the Midwest. Obviously, Minnesota, because Minnesota was to hockey then like Indiana is basketball. Mm-hmm. So you had many from Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and then you had four from the Boston area. And the thing that I found in my research is the power of parenting and upbringing. 19 of the 20 players came from what I would say would be between medium and low-income homes. Yet they had wonderful families and faith and belief, all those kind of things, work ethic, all the values that our country really believes in. And then in the Boston area, you've had like the Ruzionis. Mike Ruzioni, his family came from Italy. You know, his name stands for volcano in Italian. They lived in a three-level home with all their Italian aunts and uncles and cousins, about 20 of them.
Wow.
And Mike Ruzioni was on the middle level, and he grew up, you know, playing multiple sports. And there's another story there that practically all of these players played three sports in high school. They were incredibly competitive. They didn't specialize in hockey. And I think that's the reason they were so competitive, they were able to beat the Soviets. So you definitely had a strong Catholic guy. I've heard that it's sort of funny. Mike Ruzioni's mom was saying so many Hail Marys in the stands. She set a record when it was 4-3 with 10 minutes to go. And
yeah.
they had to hold off the Soviets.
Yeah.
But just a wonderful story of what parenting can do. There's a book by Wayne Coffey called The Boys of Winter, where he takes the approach of getting into the background of all 20 players.
Yeah. What's the story?
That's the one that,
Yeah, what's the story you said about a player who many felt was like Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? What's that story?
Well, and this is a story nobody knows unless you do extensive research. Jim Craig was the goalie, which some people are aware of. Jim Craig did a phenomenal job in goal, and Herb Brooks made the decision to go with him the whole way in Lake Placid, seven games. He never came off the ice. He was a standout at Boston University.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Craig was the starter. Steve Janicek was his backup. Steve Janicek, the previous college season, was first-team All-America at the University of Minnesota and MVP of the national championship Minnesota Golden Gopher teams. That's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
However, Herb Brooks told him before Lake Placid, I'm probably not going to play with you. I'm going to send Craig the whole way. Now, this guy's first-team All-American MVP of the Final Four, Frozen Four, whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, it burned him, but he never caused dissension. He got up early for extra practice, and he helped time shifts. And in intermissions, he would go up to players, like Jesus going up to wash the feet of the disciples, and he'd say, can I sharpen your skates? I mean, that's staggering. Here's a guy relegated, the only player of all 12 teams in Lake Placid that never played a second. And yet, he was the ultimate team player. And Ruzioni said no one, even as much as anyone, on our team. And when I share that part of my presentation, people get choked up because it's a powerful example of what a wonderful team they were.
And we hear so many stories like that, and we have on this show this year, about how athletics, the leadership aspect of it, it really helps shape lives, doesn't it? I mean, these guys were young. Like you said, they were average age of about 20 years old, and most of them have gone on to great careers. But the lives they've touched, and the fact that this story gets retold over and over and over again, and it was, you know, all the way back in 1980, that's pretty impressive.
Right, and of course, Disney did the movie Miracle with Kurt Russell about 2004, and that really helped revive, not revive it, but really bring it to the younger generation today. And it is a timeless story. It's a true journey. And I think it's the greatest example of teamwork I've ever seen, of coming together. Because what happened, Will, was the group of Midwestern players, primarily the Minnesota and then the Boston guys, you know, they couldn't stand each other because of their college rivalry. And I mean that. It was like Hatfields and McCoys.
Mm-hmm.
And Herb Brooks took this strategy of, he would push them all so hard, they would focus their intensity on him and then forget about each other. And it took a while, but it did. And they loved each other like brothers.
Yeah.
And there's this powerful moment when they beat the Soviets on Friday, February 22nd, 1980, and then 2 days later they had to come around and beat Finland, which is a story in itself. And they did, and then afterwards, Mike Ruzioni was on the medal stand by himself. Olympic protocol was the captain stood up there, and the other 19 players were way back. And he turned, and he said, come up here. And all 20 got on this little elephant stand-looking thing, all together with their arms up. It's an awesome picture. You can find it online easily.
I've seen it. Yeah,
and it's what it's all about, because you had the players, the big city guys from Boston, and you had these guys from these obscure little towns in the Midwest, came from different cultures, and that's what our nation needs today, is how people can come together in unity.
Well, you were saying there was an atmosphere in the locker room before that game, before the game against the Soviets, that it helped propel this team to the on the ice. What was that about? Tell me that story behind the scenes, like before they took the ice in that big game.
Well, you got to understand the atmosphere there. People were desperately trying to get in that arena. America was a mess by February 1980, and the Soviets, all the Cold War, all that built together. And before the game, Herb Brooks walks in, and it's portrayed in the movie Miracle, but what Kurt Russell says is a lot more than what Herb Brooks said. And basically, Brooks looked at them in this locker room that's barely fit for a peewee team. It's so small, much less grown college men.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at them and said, you were born to be hockey players, each and every one of you. You were meant to be here. This moment is yours. And he said some things around that. But the lesson to all of us is, you know, we were born for a reason. God made us for a reason. And they were to refine their skills of hockey and then be on the international stage with a hurting nation looking to them. And they went out, and the thing afterwards, coming back to that same locker room about 3 hours later, after they were David against Goliath and won 4-3, they come in there and they sang God Bless America over and over, which, you know, you turn on the World Series or whatever, and I know they celebrate for the champagne, and that's fine, but they just wanted to honor their creator, and they just sang it over and over again. And Herb Brooks, who, boy, did he march to a different beat. When the game was over, everybody went onto the ice but him, and he went straight to the locker room, locked himself in a stall, and cried, and thought of the last player he had cut just 2 weeks before, Ralph Cox, and how Cox had said, you guys are going to go to Lake Placid and win it all. So there were just all these uncommon things that happen in that locker room. I've been in it, folks. If you can ever go to Lake Placid, if you go in there, your goosebumps will get goosebumps. They have not changed the carpet since 1980. And you go in there, and it's so small, and there's a wood table that the trainer had, and there's two commode stalls and a urinal, and it's like a double cell block, and that's where it all happened.
Well, Charlie, unfortunately, we're about out of time. How can people get a hold of you if they want to bring you to their group or to their church or to an organization to hear more about this story and how they can connect it to their lives and their organization?
Yeah, they can go online and they can look for StokeTheFireWithin.com or CharlieAdamsMotivation.com. And then I also work with a lady named Katie Million, who coordinates the Miracle Players, that many of them are around 60, and Many are retired after outstanding careers, and they're accessible too. So, but I definitely speak all over Indiana, primarily the Midwest.
So StokeTheFireWithin.com.
Yes.
All right. Well, Charlie, I tell you, you've done such great research on this, and I'm glad that you're doing this because, like you said, it connects to more than just a hockey game. it's a life-changing event, and I appreciate your work.
Oh, and we appreciate your show. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. That's Charlie Adams, StokeTheFireWithin.com. Hear more about the miracle on ice. We're going to take a break, a short time out, back with Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ, serving Catholic athletes and sharing the gospel through athletics. With an integrated network of sports-oriented clergy and laypeople, they help athletes, coaches, and staff members in the practice of their faith. Information about Catholic Athletes for Christ and their new recording of the Holy Rosary featuring Hall of Fame sportscaster Vince Scully are available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. If you want to maybe help us with an underwriting opportunity, Will@CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's Will with one L, W-I-L. @CatholicRadioIndy.org. We want to continue this show. We hope to, but we need your help. We need your help to step up and maybe be a part of this show that we try to tell good stories and feature people like our guest today, Charlie Adams, who travels the Midwest telling the story of the miracle on ice and connecting it to lives, not just a game where United States beat Russia, but so much more than that. I hope you enjoyed that interview. So thank you, Charlie, for joining us. Again, congratulations to our sectional champions on the football field. They move on this week. Hope you can get to a football game. The games, the matchups, Cathedral plays Bloomington South. Brebeuf takes on West Lafayette. Chatard's next opponent is Danville. And how about at Ott Hurley's Cecina team, they keep on doing it. Their next opponent is Weibo. So we do appreciate you listening. We appreciate you taking part in this show, Catholic Sports Weekly. God bless you and have a great week.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who have touched and are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the sports we all love. Listen each Tuesday and Friday afternoon at 4 for Catholic Sports Weekly here on Catholic Radio Indy. This program is underwritten by Catholic Athletes for Christ. More information is available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.